Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noonuckle, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the first peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service, and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, more beautiful rain. Isn't it just great? Well, the North Queenslanders will be sick and tired of it, but that's all right if it comes down in by the metre. The country needs it, and sure, it does cause some discomfort and destruction along the way, but so do dry times. And we do need the rain. There's no question about it. Very dry down here in southeast Queensland. Now, today. Well, today, the 25th of January, it's the last day of freedom for First Nations people. If the 26th of January, celebrated as Australia Day, it's the anniversary of when the British came and planted their flag on the shores of our country, Aboriginal land. It's a celebration of the invasion on our peoples, on our land. We don't feel that it's right. We as First Nations people don't feel it's right. And it's beyond, it goes beyond our peoples, First Nations people. There's a lot of people in this country don't feel it is right to be celebrating the anniversary of the invasion. There are other dates, other more significant events that would be more inclusive for all who call this place home. And those other dates must be sought out. You out there as people who call this place home, you can assist by putting pressure on your local members, Premier, Prime Minister. Bring pressure to bear. Make it a more inclusive date. Make it something that everyone who calls this place home, something that they can be in, something they can celebrate, something they can be feeling good about. That's my view. And it's a growing view across the country, across societies, across communities. It's a growing view. So it might be small in numbers at the moment, but it's growing. So today, symbolically, is the last day of freedom for First Nations people. So tonight, you might wish to put a candle in your window. Can't see any fires going outside. So light a candle, even if it's that gammon candle. You know, the one where you just they make out they got naked flame, but it's just a light or something going. It's a gammon candle. You can try that. Put that in the window just on dusk. Because the candle symbolises the fire. The fire is very strong in our culture. All ancient cultures very dependent on fire. So you could show your support just by putting a candle in the window. And if you're able to light a fire, light it. Go out the backyard and have a bit of a fire going. Be very careful, of course. The fire is all freaking out. When you think about New South Wales, fires running through the Warren Bungles and everywhere else, almost all of New South Wales. So fires are freaking out when I talk about fire. So you've got to be mindful of fire restrictions. Probably safer to get that gammon candle and put it in your window to show your support for the last day of freedom for First Nations people. My guests today, two brothers have come in from out Woodridge Way, long-term residents of Woodridge Logan area. Come in and I felt, when in talking to these brothers over the past week or so, I've sensed a need to be able to tell their story properly, not just a news grab, TV camera, get in your face, you tell them what's going on, they walk away and they give you 5 seconds, 10 seconds of what you've said. And we'll have a Tongan brother on the phone after a little while. He will talk and give the perspective from his perspective of the developments over time there. We're going to talk about the feud, the family feud, the two families. And to talk about it, I've got Paul Butterworth and Greg Barlow. Paul, welcome to the program. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Talk to yourself.
I'm well, brother. And I appreciate you giving us some time coming in, giving up your time, coming in to just talk about about the business over the last couple of weeks now?
Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this country and pay respect to my elders. I'm from Birriggubba country. I'm a Wirri man from Birriggubba country. And, yeah.
That's why we get on so well. We're off to the same country.
That's right.
Our old people. All right. And Greg Barlow. Greg, welcome to the program, brother. How are you?
Not too bad.
Tell us your mob, your country.
From the Yidinji tribe up North Queensland.
All right. And tell us, you guys have been long-term residents out here. With the situation that erupted between the Tongan family and Timmy Briggs' family. Was it Timmy Briggs' family? Well, what family? There was a family there at Timmy Briggs' house at 16 Douglas Street, yeah, Greg?
So Timmy Briggs and his wife were up in Townsville at the time it happened. It was myself, my brother, and his wife and four kids, and two of Timmy's two kids.
And tell us a bit, will you? You were looking after the house while Tim and his missus was away?
Yeah, we were staying with, we moved in with Tim and them, and they went to Townsville for a trip. And they was up there for a while. They wasn't supposed to get back until about Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And come Saturday night, we went out and did a yard for a friend of ours. The boys had a few drinks and that at the house, and we come back to Woodridge. They were going to a party at Inala, and they asked me to take them to the Woodridge Tavern to get some drinks. And as we come out, we pull up at the set of lights, a carload of Samoans pulled up beside us. Some white people walked across the road, started swearing at the Samoans, and the Samoans thought it was us, so they started on us. So that's where everything started from, was that.
Just from that?
Yeah. And then the nephew said to me, follow them. So we followed them, but we followed them to Foodworks on Ewing Road in Woodridge. Then we went up to the house at Douglas Street to grab some more boys and went back to Ewing Road, Foodworks, and they had a bit of a blue there with some of the Samoans, and even some of the Samoan women were throwing punches at the boys. And then it just started from there.
How did flow over into the Tongan community with the Tongan family, Sawani and his sons?
Their car was parked down the road from my sister's place, Bromman. They got smashed up, and they thought it was Murray's that did it. So they come up to the house and chased the boys, and the boys wasn't going to just sit back and let them come in the house, come in the yard like that, so they chased them. But it was then when they chased them up the road, then they just sang out, quick, get inside, because they come back with machetes, bars, they come back with weapons, and smashed the house up, smashed the cars up. 11 of us in the house was locked up in the back room, fearing for our lives. And our last thought that night was, we're going to die tonight. So we just started grabbing one another, hugging them.
You were terrified?
Them. Yeah, we was in fear of our life.
There was young kids and people?
The youngest one that would have been in the house would have been about 18.
Right, okay. So they're adults?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do against 15, nearly 20 Tongans?
So there was a big mob of people.
Yeah. Our next door neighbours was going to come out and get into one of the boys that was smashing the cars up. But by the time he got to the end of his driveway, he seen about another 9 to 10 Tongans standing across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went from there.
So there's a few cars damaged?
Three cars.
Right. And they belong to the household there at 16 Douglas Street?
One belongs to my sister. And the other two belonged to my nephews.
Mm. And did they were unable to get into the house to do any further damage? What stopped them? Why did they stop?
We don't know.
Right, it just stopped.
Yeah. Because I think they were a bit worried what we was up to inside too.
Mm. Mm.
But we was locked in the back room fearing for our lives.
Mm. But prior to this, there was a good relationship between the Tongan family and Murray's?
Yeah. See, my nephew knew the boys. He played football with them.
Yeah.
At the school.
So they were all friends. Went to school together. Played football.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. And it was just, it's just sad how things can get out of hand when you think somebody said something or it was somebody else. And
Like today, we still don't know what really went wrong. Why did they did that?
But their car was smashed up, so they come down and they blame the residents of Douglas Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the nephew got chased by four of them.
The nephew? Yeah. So it sort of went on from there where there was...
Yeah, they chased him from the food works at Ewing Road. They chased him, but he got away lucky. It was a quick runner, yeah. When he got back to the house, he was in fear. He was crying.
Mm-hmm.
He's a heart patient.
Mm.
And if any more stress, he could have had a heart attack.
Yeah, right. Yep.
But if they would have got hold of him, they would have killed him.
Yeah. That's the fear that your people have.
Yeah.
Your family and that. Yeah.
Not,
somebody just, can die.
What I just said, not any of that was mentioned over the weekend. The 11 people was forgotten about. They just went on to two people, the Briggs family, and 11 people didn't even get mentioned. On how we felt that night.
That seems to be an oversight, the police. Pardon me there. The police came in to keep the family separated, but there was no sort of, you feel that was a big neglect on all parties there, that the families, that incident on the house, the attack on the house, that was sort of like...
See, we made 11 calls to the police, AAA's 11 calls from four different phones. The last phone call was made at 12:30.
In the afternoon?
In the morning.
Oh, AM, right, yeah, after midnight, yeah.
They didn't get there until about an hour and a half later.
Okay.
The only way we could get the cops there, we had to lie. My nephew rang the fire brigade and said his car was on fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took them, and then they said that they were there in a half an hour. But they didn't get there until an hour and a half later.
Yeah, yep. So you don't feel they're being honest with what they're saying?
No. Because we checked all their phones and
the
last phone call was made at 12:30.
Yep. And what time did they get there?
They didn't get there until about 1:30.
Oh, right. And by that time it had...
It had died down.
It had died down?
Yep.
When did it flare up again? What was the situation there?
Well, they were... We ended up bringing some of the boys to come over to support us and protect us, help us out. And we was all sitting around and then they started singing out to the boys. The Tongan family started singing out and the boys just had enough of it.
So just more reaction and more taunting, more reaction, and was just going out in circles.
Yeah.
One of the big concerns out there in the community, Paul, is the way First Nations people were charged.
Yes. Yes, that is a big concern. Like we've been seeing for years, I mean, we've grown up in a society like this where we're always going to be the first ones to blame. We look at it the way the police look at it as, let's get rid of the black fellas first, then we can calm the situation down. It doesn't work like that. All it does is
inflame.
Flare it up. That's all it does. It just flares it up. I find that the police force myself are incompetent themselves. I've lost confidence in the police force myself and the way they conducted themselves.
You think they could have handled that better?
Oh, my God, they could have. They could have handled that in a better way, of course. Like they, I asked them myself when I had a meeting with them, how do you prioritize a situation like this? I said, you know, within 2 minutes, you were there when a little fight scuffle broke out. The family was in danger that night. It took you nearly 2 hours to get there. Then they started going about priorities. You know, then I asked them to put it in a priority, and they couldn't do that. But when that little fight broke, it was called a code 2, which brings your police force in. So I don't know code that comes under when a family's in danger and your home's being invaded.
Yeah.
We still don't have answers from this police force. We're going to get a lot of black, like we do, you know. We get the other side, and that's about it. At the end of the day, we've got these Tongans and that still walking around. There's still only been black fellas charged. They're trying to look for a scapegoat on how to not charge these people. As soon as it's one of our people, they know what the charge is straight up. Assault. What assault? If you go back to media coverage, you'll see police being pushed all over the place by Tongans. And yet they say assault because we're standing back. When officers lay their hands on our boys, that's called assault.
Yeah.
We live in a really bad community, bad society out there, and it's only caused because of the people that are in it. Like I keep saying, the government creates hurdles for us. They're the hurdles that we've got to get across. We prove ourselves to these governments. At the end of the day, the police are there, not there to protect us. They're there to arrest us. Anything that goes wrong around Logan area or anything, we're the first people to be blamed, of course. Then it comes back and we've got to see if the other people can be charged with this. That's wrong. That is totally wrong. There's either one law we all stick by, or there's one law for them and one law for us.
Mm. You just like to see consistency.
That's right.
Level playing field.
Exactly.
Paul, talking about charges and our people being charged, young fellas in the community being charged, the CERT, or the Tactical Response Group, or TRG, whatever you like to call them, the Special Force Mob, would come out looking in their overalls and gloves, and the only thing they weren't carrying, I think, was batons and shields.
Yes.
But it's the mob that do carry batons and shields.
That's right.
Yeah. In an extreme situation. They were brought in, and quite a number of them.
That's for
but
sure.
But they handed, again, to one of the young fellas a couple of days after the two families had got together and shook hands and sorted out their differences. There was one of the young fellas from, I think he was from Douglas Street,
yep,
that was handed a notice to appear in court, charged with being armed in public or something.
Yeah, I think they
had a lump of wood that was taken. He was photographed. They're on the news with something. Well, tell us about that incident. Like, there's another charge of another young Murray,
yep,
which, and still with nobody from any outside of the Murray community being charged.
That's right, exactly. I mean, we were still moving the family that day.
That's right. The family's relocated during all of this.
That's right.
The Briggs family asked to be relocated.
That's right. So we're just doing loads. You know, the boys have just come back from grabbing a feed down the road for everybody, you know. And they've just got back, and then you've got these guys that are come up in their Jeep, whatever it is, four-wheel drive, pull up beside the car, ask whose name, and they're already, you know, back at the house. They've jumped out of the car, and then the boys have jumped out of the car, and then the TAC force decided to jump out of the car and come over and give this guy a ticket, you know, for being walking armed in public. What they don't really understand is he wasn't in public. That photo was taken inside the yard with him standing there with that bar. That was inside the yard, still defending his home.
Right.
And yet he gets charged for defending his home in his yard.
And how many people have you seen on TV, news and stuff, out in public, on the streets, with something in their hands for ready for a blue? Quite a number of people, both sides, our mob as well as the other mob, the other camp.
That's right, there were a fair few.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just all got out of proportion, and because it was blown out of proportion, because the police were just taking the one side more or less, the way we looked at it is that they put the task force along the top of the street against us. We were the ones that were locked in. That street was locked down. They locked that street down that we were in.
And you still had some of these young fellas driving around in cars the street towards 16 Douglas Street, the house.
That's right. The young fellas that
taunting.
The young fellas from up the road were standing up on the corner behind the police, taunting the people from there, singing out. They've had to go up and ask the police if they could please move them along because they're just stirring the guys up down here.
Mm.
And they hijacked the shop. They hijacked the shop that was there. They all come up to the shops and stood around. We wasn't even game enough to go to the shop because they were there.
Mm.
Then they was allowed to put a table in the middle of the road and sit down and charge up.
Have a party while we're in lockdown down the bottom.
Yeah. Yes, no, so the biggest, one of the big issues is just the way the police weren't consistent with the way they handle it.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on the media? How do you feel about how the media handle things?
Media like to throw a lot out of whack, as we all know.
Sensationalise the situation?
Yes. Yes, there was a lot of stuff that was said on the media that wasn't true, as we know. Like I've been telling the media, we were only here to defend the families here. That's all we're here for. We're not here to fight anybody up the road or whatever. We're here because this home was attacked. This family was attacked in this home. They need defending. The police force couldn't come here and defend this family. The family had to bring in people to come and help defend them because they couldn't do their job. The police couldn't even take complaints that night from the people. We rang the police the next morning, asking them, are you going to be coming out to forensics on the car because she's told these people not to leave this home until they do forensics and that send forensics out on for the vehicles. We ring up.
Yeah,
we ring up and nobody... Yeah, we ring them up and they say, oh, we can't send anybody out forensics out there because there's been no complaint made. So I've had to get on to more people. And Brother Gregory had to get on to more people just to get the police out there to do the complaint.
Since when? In your observations and your experience, since when did you see police hold back and wait for a particular party who's got a grievance to step up and make a complaint? Since when?
Exactly. Never. Exactly. Never seen that happen.
Exactly. They don't wait for us blackfellas. Well, generally.
Well, see, we had a...
Other parties that have a that have an issue or that.
See, we had a bit of argument amongst ourselves before the Tongans come and smashed the house up. And the cops were there within minutes, ready to arrest us, ready to bring the dog squad out, bring their dogs out. And then the Tongans did that, and nobody was arrested. They didn't even go near their house or anything like that.
Mm.
They were ready to arrest us again.
Mm, mm.
Because we were that much in anger and fear, they were ready to arrest us.
It took Brother Greg to ring police and get... He had to get an officer to come out that was off duty to come out to do the complaint.
Yeah, I got a phone call from the Mancravat police station. They rang onto the liaison officer and it was her day off. So she... come in that afternoon to get it, the reports and that all done. Make sure we got it done, the forensics mob come out, take the photos. And she was there from day one, from 5 days without hardly any sleep.
Mm. You know, it's sad that this always seems to be the case, usually, generally, seems to be the case for our people, where we're the ones under scrutiny, we're the ones that be charged, we're the ones to be contained and controlled.
I had a nephew that was charged for... supposed to be throwing dirt at the coppers. Yeah, they charged him for throwing dirt.
But that was later, that was some hours after the incident as well, when he was walking across to the shop and got pinched.
Yeah, that's right.
Hours after the alleged incident.
That's right. They were as far as I looked at it, the police were there purely and simply to stir our mob up, and that was it. Mm. They weren't there to protect their mob, because we were there to protect our mob. It's come from us protecting our mob from the Tongans, to protecting our mob also from the police force.
From the police, that's right.
So we had two fights.
Meat in the sandwich, yes. And the Tongan family also called in, like they had people come in to support them. Briggs family and your mob had people come in to support the residents of 16 Douglas Street.
That's right.
And it just blew out. I've got Kenny on the line. Kenny's a man I met some years ago. Talking to us. He's a member of the Tongan community. Kenny, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Tiger.
Brother, you were in, you've been a resident of, you've been in Australia for some years? And how do you feel you're well connected in the Tongan community here?
Yes, I am, thank you.
As you would, your people would in your country, for visitors coming your country?
Yes, I mean...
What do you think's needed now, the feud between the two families? I've got Greg Barlow was in the house on the night of the attack, and I've got Paul Butterworth, who has been out there all the time as well, joining me here this morning. They're live in the studio, just... telling us the situation from the perspective of being locked in the house and fear of their lives. But the fact that was the two families feuding. Or would you blokes want to add anything at all to what Eddie been say? Greg or Paulie? Nothing? What do you think with the two families resolving things? And is that fair to say, Greg and Paulie, the two families, it has been resolved with the two families?
Well, we thought it was, but we still got these groups that are still getting around, you know, from the Tongan community that are still...
Right, outside of the family.
Yeah, that are still chastising the people out there and stuff like that, you know. Okay. There's one out there that considers himself a Tongan leader within the Tongan community out there, and that's doing a lot of this driving around in his car and with a group of guys and...
All right.
more or less trying to intimidate people in that around the area.
Mm. What are your thoughts, Eddie? Kenny, on how this sort of thing, what can be done, what needs to be done now? What do you think can resolve, how do we resolve things?
Look, I mean, let's look at the involved did not do his job. And when
hang on a minute there. Let's just sort of look at where to now. Whichever way that went down, what do you think we can be doing now? What do you think is resolution? Trying to build a better relationship. Trying to establish respect and harmony there. What do we do?
It's public. Come in. If there's a breakdown in the first inner circle to their bishop,
you know, maybe that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be starting now. Then is to try to pick up that sort of discussion and at a little bit higher up the ladder.
Look, Tiger, this is not rocket science option.
You feel confident there are people around that maybe willing to come together and talk in this regard.
Well, I'd love to be job, and hey, Tiger, you know I'm all for support for your indigenous people. You know I'm just ashamed of what one Tongan family has done, and I gotta pay my respects to young Josiah Briggs and the Briggs family for their own land, so to speak. You know,
they requested to relocate for their own comfort, I suppose, and safety and that. But look, I think we're on a good. I'll just ask Greg and Paul here in the studio. You feel of what Eddie's saying to try and pull together a couple of these people, more senior people out in the Tongan community, pull together with some of your mob there. How do you feel about what Eddie's saying?
I feel like he's saying is right. I mean, like I'm saying too. Like we deal with our issues. You know, it's been put over the media over the last few days, how, you know, always putting our people down and stuff. But at the end of the day, we are the only people that are coming together and trying to solve the situation. We're the only people that are coming together having meetings and stuff like that to try and solve the situation. What we need is, like Eddie was saying, is them fellas got to come together and sort out their stuff in their communities and stuff like that with their people.
Greg, what's your thoughts? You agree with Paul?
Yeah, I agree with Paul.
Yeah, okay. Well, Eddie, look, maybe we should...
But also in saying that, Ty, just before we go, Greg was saying before, you know, thanks to Eddie about, you know, for accepting that from Joey and them, but at the end of the day it was the Barlow family and that was in the home that night as well. You know, and that's a lot of hurt that goes around too, you know. We are a lot of limelight going out to Brother Tim and that, but there was also the family that was there that night, the Barlow family and that.
And that that hasn't been acknowledged so much either.
No, that hasn't.
You were the mob
even
that was under attack and caught in it all, Greg, your family.
Yep, and we was like pushed aside.
Yeah, just forgotten about it, as if you weren't there.
There was
the attack was on the house, but not with you mob, you know. That was, yeah.
The 11 people that was in the house, it was like they was just pushed aside.
All right. Well, Eddie, we can, we should see who you've got that's able to attend a meeting, and we try and organise something as soon as we can.
Okay.
What do you reckon, Eddie? I think we've lost Eddie. What's happened, Eddie? Hello. Yeah, we've got a. Yes, we've got a caller on the line. Who have we got?
Yeah, Raymond from Waco, mate.
Hello. No, this telephone. Something going wrong with this telephone. We'll have to... we've lost Eddie. We'll continue on with our talks with Eddie and see what will work there. You feel okay with that? I mean, is that somewhere to go on? You both told me earlier, one of the big issues for you is our mob, Murray's, are talking, but not everyone talking on the same page. All having meetings, all concerned. There's broad concerns from elders and from young ones and from families and from residents there and from people that's not from there. But there's a lack of coordination and all operating off the same page.
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what's happening in that community at the moment.
Let me see who we got on the phone. Hello? Who's there?
Yeah, Raymond from Waco.
You want to make a comment?
Yeah, mate. Just going back to what the Samoan fellow was saying there. The respect to the young fellows today, there is no respect from kids of today, mate. It's not just in the like Aboriginal and Torres Strait anymore.
Yeah, so there's a big breakdown right across the board. Like the young people, it's just very different, isn't it? The discipline and the way dealing with young people is very different today. No, that's a fair comment.
Right.
Yeah,
as I say, like me and my brother, like we're in our early 40s now, and mate, if we played up, we done something wrong, we got dabbed real quick. The clip under the ear, whatever it took, sort of. Hey, you done wrong, pal. This is what you're going to get for it.
Yeah, well, the system's changed a bit these days. We find ourselves being brought before welfare or police or somebody. Yeah. But what you're saying is the discipline and the family, the families, the parents and families take a bit more control. I think you're right. No worries, brother. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Tiger.
You have a good day. Bye now. Yes, it is very different today. We can't go. We've got to be mindful of that. The violence, where you're going to get charged. You know, your kids, you're just threatening your kids today. We'll go to the police. But to try to get our own people, our own community, more coordinated, what do you think that takes? A bit of talk around the different groups and say, look.
Yes, it does. We've got to be able to talk to each other instead of having these little separate meetings and stuff going on. That's not going to resolve anything.
Mm.
I mean, the problem's always going to be there. If we've got people that are... excuse me. If we've got people that are doing stuff and we know nothing about. We don't know what's going on in these meetings. We're not informed of what's going on in these meetings. We don't know what the outcome of these meetings are, that these other people are having and stuff. All we want to be included and informed in the stuff.
Yes.
At the end of the day, if they really are interested, I mean, we've been holding meetings. They are quite welcome to come to our meetings.
My guests are Paul Butterworth and Greg Barlow in the studio live with me this morning. We're talking about the feud between the two families, Tongan family, Murray family, at Douglas Street, Woodridge, and there still needs to be a lot of work. The two families have shaken hands, the Briggs family, but like Greg Barlow here says. It was him and his family who was in the middle of, who was locked in the house in fear of their lives, and they haven't been acknowledged or involved along the way, and that's a bit sad, Greg. Yep. I can imagine how you feel about that.
I'd just like to add to that, Tiger, too. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, fair, you know, it's fair enough that they give the Briggs family, we got them relocated and everything, but the family that was in that home that night that was attacked is now homeless. Yeah, they got nowhere to go now. Yeah.
A number of the people?
No, the family basically that was in that home that night.
Oh, right, Greg's family.
That's right, the Barlow family. They're homeless now. You know, they've got nowhere to go now, type thing.
Okay.
I mean, the other family was relocated, Briggs family, which was fair enough. But now the Barlow family got nowhere to go.
And you were staying there with the Briggs family at the time.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that's your sister.
Yeah, that's my sister, Bronwyn.
Bronwyn.
Yeah.
And she's the partner to Tim Briggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were staying with your with your sister there.
Yeah, I stayed with my sister and also my brother and his wife and four kids.
Right, yeah. All right. So there's a lot more going on, and this thing could be handled a whole lot better. One, by our mob, elders and people.
That's right.
Working with you guys, talking, because you were the ones in the middle of it. And, Paul, you're the one that was identified by family there at the house as the spokesperson.
That's right, yes.
So what our people must be encouraged then to be talking to you.
That's exactly right. Instead of all the other people that want to put up their hands and take this on without even any... at the end of the day, the people that are out there speaking on behalf of this family and that are paying disrespects to this family is the way I look at it.
Mm.
If they can't respect the family's wishes, then they don't expect the respect to come back on them.
That's
because
right.
You've got to be able to respect this family what they've asked.
Now, Paul, given that the issues in the area are much broader than the two families, because the issues in the area go back quite some years.
Oh, that's for sure.
But the best way to resolve this is from a coordinated fashion, working with government, working with police, working with Murray community, working with families, getting your family housed and things like this. But that's the best way to work on it because it is broader than the two families. That's so I can understand some discussion taking place on broader issues, but you can't isolate this issue with the two families.
That's exactly
right. You can't isolate that from the broader issues. It's all part and parcel of the same thing.
And you can't use what's happened with this family. You can't use that for your political game. You can't use that to get your spotlight out there. You can't use that to bring in, we want these programs going, we want them programs and that going now. It's got to be, we've got to deal with the issue at hand.
Yes.
And not once has any of the local governments come to approach this family and come to see this family at all.
Yeah.
We've had one, Desley Squat, that's about it. Yeah. But anything.
Just a local member?
Yeah. Mm. But, and saying that, you know, just, they have ample time. These people have had ample time to come out and approach the families. See what they need, see if they needed anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the first priority, you think, is trying to resolve the issue with this family now, Greg's family.
That's right.
And his brother and the family there.
That's exactly right. Instead of us sitting around and having meetings up there and all this stuff and our family's still homeless.
Other programs or is there, do you think that's a help? I mean, there's discussion from people about setting up youth programs and funding different sorts of events out there to assist with the young ones and their awareness, I suppose, their time that they have on their hands. I mean, from my research, there's been very little money invested in the Logan area for quite a number of years. Very, very little, next to nothing invested.
That's right.
So do you think it's time for community organisations that may have some funds, government and people, to look at an investment in the community?
That's for sure.
With a focus on the youth, young people and stuff?
That's exactly right. Instead of taking more money out of these communities, they should be putting it back into the communities. That's why I'm doing some work with Gunnedah and you can be at the moment, you can be Dreaming Centre and that, to be able to get some more fundings in and stuff and start some more programs and stuff out there for our youth and that. You know? At the same time, I deal with the two issues, you know, with the family, and I'm also out there trying to do something for our youth and that to stop any future stuff from happening. We don't want another one of our children laying dead there. We don't want another family attacked in the place.
And there's intermarriage with Pacific Island families and Murray families and stuff.
That's right.
And Whitefellow family. Well, there's intermarriage there. So there is good relationships in parts of it, but you would like it to be more harmonious right across the board.
Oh, for sure.
We all want that. We all want that.
You know, our children that go to school, they play football with you. They play
netball. Is that a concern from some of the parents with their kids having to go to school next week? Is there any concern there?
Yes, there is a big concern there. It's a major concern. And this is the things that they should be talking about at the top, right? Not these other programs of employment and stuff. Let's get our kids saved. Who are we going to employ if we've got no kids
to
be educated?
Yeah. If the kids are too frightened to go to school.
That's right. Mm. So we've got to start at the bottom here. We've got to start, like I keep saying, from the grassroots people.
Yep.
It's got to come back to the grassroots people.
In winding up, I must say that in a quick phone call with the police this morning, they say that they are to charge, they are going for discussions with a view to charge the young fellas, somebody. They're going to charge somebody in the very near future, in the forthcoming future, with the attack on your house. So let's see how things go. Yeah?
Yep.
Anything else you want to say in winding up?
Yeah, I'd just like to say something. On behalf of our family, we just want to say thank you, Paul, for being there for us.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Now, thanks, Greg, for coming in. Yep. And we certainly feel for you and your family and your brother and family and stuff. It's a tough situation to be in. Paul, thank you for coming in, brother.
And thank you, Tiger.
Appreciate being able to have some discussion and things.
Yeah. About time the people's voice is being heard, which is good.
Yes, it is. It's certainly needed. And let's hope we can move forward in some way. Even we're with Kenny from the Tongan community and see if we can get some people. And I'll certainly put you in touch with Kenny and you and him can talk. You don't need me as no middleman. I can bring you in here to talk in the studio, but you don't need me in the middle of things. Just talk together there. It's time to go. Join us next week. Let's talk. You have a great weekend.